I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room.
Rafa did it very well. So,
Rafael Nadal did do very well, winning in Montreal with a 6-3, 6-love win in the final against Daniil Medvedev.
I played a solid match, my best match of the week so far, without a doubt. I did a lot of things well, changing directions, changing rhythms during the point. I played some high balls, then changed it down the line. I think I played smart because I had a good feeling on the ball. If not, you cannot.
Nadal says he got off to a good start in his first successful defense of a hard court title.
Some very long rallies, and for me personally, it was important to start the match in a good shape, you know, because he came to that match playing so well during the whole event, playing a lot of matches the last weeks. So, for me, it was a little different story. You know, I only played 3 matches on hard before this one, and playing against a big opponent like him, for me, was important at the beginning of the match.
Medvedev knew he was facing one of the all-time best in the 33-year-old Nadal.
Well, I played Roger 2 times, Novak 4 times, so I knew how it's going to be, and I was kind of ready for it. And then didn't manage to probably show my best tennis, but at the same time, Rafa was, I think, incredible today.
Medvedev had a plan.
My tactic was to not go and give him that much time, to try to play deep, to not give him easy shots. And it was kind of working in the beginning of the match, but then I completely lost the momentum, and it was only him controlling the play, controlling the game. Even a few moments in the match, I try to kind of not come back, but at least win one game and maybe see how it goes. The moment I was close, he just played too good, and that's how it went.
Nadal wasn't taking his less experienced opponent lightly.
Of course, I cannot be 100% calm, knowing that I'm going to win the match. And probably for that reason, I achieved all the things that I achieved, you know, because I am never too confident. I always respect every situation and every opponent, and that's why I am always putting my 100% attention.
Medvedev felt he had one of his best career performances.
Yeah, I think it's one of 2 best tournaments I've played in my life. One was basically, of course, Tokyo, the only ATP 500 I won at this moment, and of course, to be in the final of Masters 1000, I mean, it's an amazing achievement for me at this moment. Of course, I always say this, if you don't win the tournament, you are always disappointed. I think even if you lose in the final of Grand Slam, you will be disappointed. But of course, I'm happy to be in this final, and I will try to do better next time.
Nadal has now won the Montreal event 5 times to push his record to 53 so-called big titles, a combination of 18 Grand Slam championships and a record-extending 35 ATP Masters 1000 titles. He is just one big title from matching Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer.
They're very passionate about tennis. I always felt that when I have been playing here, I have been always an unbelievable atmosphere out there, full crowd, and that's so important for our sport, no? And for me personally, go around the world and see when I'm playing, see the court full is a big personal satisfaction.
Andy Murray of Britain tried his luck in his first singles match since hip surgery.
I don't really know what I was expecting, to be honest. I think I did okay. I think, you know, you also have to be somewhat realistic.
He felt a bit off after a 7-month absence from singles tennis.
Physically, you know, my legs were a little bit heavy at the end of the match in comparison to maybe what they normally would be if you played, you know, a bunch.
Murray lost his first round match against Frenchman Richard Gasquet at the Cincinnati Masters, 6-4, 6-4.
Richard uses all of the angles on the court. He's one of the best at doing that, so I was having to move quite a lot laterally and I didn't move forwards particularly well. Like when he drop shot it, there was a few times I just didn't even run for the ball, didn't react to it, and that's nothing to do with, you know, my hip. That's just me not running for a ball, and I could have, which I did do that better at the end of the match.
Murray is in no hurry.
I haven't played many matches in the last 18 months, really, so it's going to take time.
He confirmed he will not play singles at the forthcoming US Open.
I'm not going to play the US Open singles. They were announcing the wild cards today. I know if I would have taken the wild card and then not played, then I would have been getting all of the questions about my hip and why has he turned it down? Is something wrong? What's the problem? And, you know, that didn't feel right to me.
The 32-year-old Murray was very emotional last year when he faced the prospect of never playing tennis again.
Tennis is, you know, something that I've done my whole life, so it's something that is kind of all I've known as an adult. You know, I wasn't able to do that and didn't know whether I was going to be able to come back and play. That was, you know, that was hard. But actually, once I got rid of the pain, I realized that, you know, I didn't need tennis. Tennis wasn't the most important thing for me.
The first round loss tells Murray he's actually okay.
You know, I thought it maybe would have changed my perspective completely on things, but I'm sitting here disappointed, which I think is probably a good thing if I want to get back to playing at a high level.
In that first phase, it is incredibly painful to a point where I usually don't get out of bed.
Also facing down pain was American Serena Williams. Back spasms forced her out of the Rogers Cup final in Toronto.
It started yesterday in my match. It just got worse. It's just my whole back just completely spasmed, and to a point where I couldn't sleep and I couldn't really move. And so I was just trying to figure out, how do you play a match where you have no rotation?
The 23-time Grand Slam champion made it through four games of the opening set, but was forced to retire from the match when the pain became too much.
I've had these awful spasms a lot in my career, actually, and they're incredibly painful. But, you know, it goes away after like 24, 36, maybe 48 hours, like clockwork.
Williams' opponent, 19-year-old Bianca Andreescu, took the title in front of the hometown crowd. But instead of immediately celebrating, the Canadian rushed to comfort Williams, who was visibly upset on the sideline.
I think that this is such a huge occasion for boxing, an iconic moment for boxing.
Saudi Arabia will be hosting a heavyweight boxing match.
Now we look forward to, in my opinion, the fight of the year, the fight of the division, the biggest fight out there, the heavyweight rematch between Joshua and Ruiz.
Eddie Hearn, managing director of Matchroom Boxing, says it took some discussion to figure out the location for the rematch between Britain's Anthony Joshua and American Andy Ruiz Jr.
There was a lot of talk about where this fight would be held. Would it be back at Madison Square Garden? Would it be at the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff?
Joshua will be trying to win back the IBF, WBA, and WBO belts he lost to Ruiz at New York's Madison Square Garden on June 1st. Ruiz had insisted that the rematch take place back in the United States or at a neutral venue.
The whole world will be watching this fight on December 7th, and I know that Saudi Arabia will be doing everything they can to make sure that this is an event that takes your breath away.
Eddie Hearn says the bout is part of a wider strategy by Saudi authorities to portray the country as a modern, tourist-friendly destination, and several boxing events have already taken place there over the past year.
We have to realize that there is another world out there outside of Cardiff and Madison Square Garden. And we have an obligation to grow the sport of boxing to new areas, to new regions. And for me, this event could change boxing forever. Because if Saudi Arabia are going to invest in these kind of fights, with the population that they have, with the potential to grow the sport of boxing, you could be seeing a big change in the dynamics of the sport.
Toronto Raptors president Masai Ujiri visited Cameroon to host a youth basketball camp.
There's so much talent in Africa. We have to be able to help this talent, groom this talent, and that's by increasing facilities, help with coaching, infrastructure, We have to be disciplined on the continent.
Following his team's first National Basketball Association championship, the English-born Nigerian is also on the lookout for some talent, with a number of African stars currently making their mark in the NBA.
We've seen now that how kids can come out of here, kids like Joel Embiid and Pascal Siakam can come out of places like this and be great. And there's no reason why we can't inspire to be better on this continent.
I want it here. Eyes up, eyes up, eyes up.
Ujiri has previously held camps in Rwanda, Kenya, and Nigeria with the aim of bringing young people together through sports values such as tolerance, respect for gender, and work ethic. He says basketball opens many opportunities.
We're not all going to end up being basketball players. Some of us are going to end up being coaches, working basketball in other areas. We can be sports journalists, we can be sports lawyers, we can be sports doctors, we can be sports trainers. There are so many things that you can do. And we have to teach these kids as they use basketball as a path. These opportunities can come their way with education.
English golfer Lee Westwood is looking forward to his week in Prague at the Czech Masters.
I like it, yeah. I've had a couple of top tens here in the past, I think, and it's pretty straightforward. You know, the course has been designed well, kind of shows you where you need to hit it, and then it's up to the individual to execute it. There's a lot of water out there. You know, there's a lot of risk-reward if you want to take it on. It's a good golf course.
Spectators will see several big names on the course, including South African Ernie Els, who is swinging after some back issues.
I had a lot of treatment on it, and nothing too serious, but serious enough where you know, I couldn't play the other week. You know, when it's in the rib, it's tough to follow through. I've had it before, so we worked it out, and it should be good.
Padraig Harrington of Ireland continues his own physical recovery.
You know, obviously I've been injured this year with the broken wrist, and I'm back playing a few months now, but they tell me it's going to be close to the end of the year before it's fully healed, in the sense that I won't be thinking about it. Doesn't seem to affect my golf swing. It affects me a little bit on some of the bunker shots and chip shots where I really want to release it hard. But, you know, I think, you know, I'm good to play it.
One thing Harrington has never had to deal with is a missing bag of golf clubs. Until now.
The first time in 32 years I've lost my golf clubs going to an event. So I've been pretty lucky that way. They have arrived. They're somewhere. All it means is I just have a bit more time to enjoy Prague.
The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.